But I want us to consider from the life of Joshua a number of things, and particularly the virtues of genuine humility. I want us to really think about what humility is as it works out in our lives, as God would have it for us. And God helps us with pictures and examples of things like humility, not only in the manifestation of his son, Jesus, but in also other people recorded in scripture and history, and people that are even maybe around us this evening, or people that we rub shoulders with and are related to. God uses examples for us to see what some of the virtues of genuine humility are. God has given us these examples. We can see a glimpse of Joshua in our look at Caleb. Do you remember we studied Caleb our last time in this series? We looked at the life of Caleb. Such an exciting account, right? When you study the life of Caleb, how could you not be encouraged to be faithful looking at Caleb? And there's a little glimpse of Joshua in the life of Caleb. Actually, more than a glimpse. But we focused on Caleb. So Joshua was kind of set back in the shadows a little bit. Now we're going to take the spotlight off Caleb, and we're going to illuminate Joshua and see them not only as contemporaries, but also how they have similar faith and displaying of quality, virtuous character in their walk with God. Joshua experienced life as a faithful spouse, a faithful father, a faithful leader, a faithful commander, as well as a humble servant to Moses, a humble servant to God. He was capable in his leaderships, and he was also, a very important note, is that he remained spiritually teachable. And this was huge and key in his humility. I think in each one of these areas, the scriptures don't what the scriptures don't say he was an instantaneous success in all of this. He learned and grew through life and experiences and even mentors in his life. All of this helped him grow in learning and knowing more about God and becoming more faithful to God as he was humble and displayed genuine humility. This was key in his life. The Bible does tell us that Joshua was a steady and faithful disciple of the Lord God of Israel. Joshua had a heart for God. His teachable spirit was an example for Israel and is a model for you and me, man and woman, or child, for us today, right now. He is an example that God has given to us. See the examples and life experiences Joshua went through and learn from them is what God is saying through this record. Also learn of himself, God, and we're going to see that too. Joshua's example shows us the necessary virtues that are wrapped up in humility. Or if we unpack humility, you'll see the necessary virtues that are included in that. And all of that is necessary for following God and leading others to follow God. The big idea, as we look at Joshua, we could look at him through a lot of different angles and perspectives. But the theme that I want us to grab, and sort of the big idea from looking at Joshua's life, would be this. God wants your life. Okay, we can all point at ourselves. If I talk to the kids, say, everybody point to themselves. God wants your life to be marked by genuine humility. That's what God wants for us. That's one of the things God wants for us. He wanted it for Joshua, and Joshua helped to exhibit that for us and model that for us by God's grace. So, of course, the question begged to be asked is, what does genuine humility really look like? And I bet you right now, we don't bet. I guess right now that you probably have in your mind somebody that you go, oh, they are the epitome of humility. Right? And hopefully you're not thinking about yourself. But maybe you're thinking of somebody in your life. You know, I would think of my mother. I think of my wife. I think of others I could name. You know, as I start thinking, I'm like, wow, they're just some of the most humble people I know. You know, we think about characters like that. I want us to think and ponder on together the character of Joshua and how God taught Joshua that the virtues of humility were necessary to follow God faithfully. So we'll see from Joshua's life a picture of genuine humility marked by teachability, and I'm guessing we'll only get through that one tonight, availability, obedience, and faithfulness. These will be the virtues that mark Joshua's life in aiding him to be humble in following God in humility. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for Joshua, the example. Thank you for the scriptures now that we have open before us. We have a precious appointed time right now in a unique situation as the body of Christ to learn, to read, to preach, to learn, and to obey your word. So help us to do that tonight as we take this survey look at the life of an Old Testament character, an Old Testament personality. And there's many principles for living now from that. So thank you for this example. We ask for your continued guidance, please, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've mentioned before, and I just want to mention again and credit some sources. There are some there are many sources available when you look at Old Testament characters. You can do Bible studies, devotional studies, survey classes, Sunday school classes, so on and so forth. And I've been thankful for that. There would be probably more reading than I can do from a week-to-week basis to scan all of the biblical texts that span the life of Joshua's history and pick out just the perfect verses to put a message together like this for tonight. So I'm thankful for a number of sources, and I've borrowed a lot from them. There's one called the Life Principles from the Old Testament, and I have appreciated their outlining the life of some Old Testament characters, and I've leaned on them pretty heavily, that study, to help us with this too. So a lot of this comes from a number of other sources to put together a message tailored for us. But I want us to look at, firstly, how in the life of Joshua we see that he was, as we can be, taught by the Lord through mentorship. The importance of mentorship. I think sometimes we consider mentorship to be something that is good for when we were younger or younger people. Right? Mentorship is something that I did when I was a child, or that is had. It's a relationship that's had that's good, but it's meant for a younger age to grow somebody from to maturity, and then they become the one that mentors other, and they no longer are mentored. And I would suggest to you, wisdom I would offer to you is that you divorce that thinking from your brain. And realize that God, no matter what our age, has given us the school of mentorship as a grace. And no matter the age, there are those that we can look for that God has placed in our life to mentor us and we can learn from. And we see that in Joshua's life. Yes, at a little bit younger age, but also much into his far senior age than any one of you here tonight, okay, by the end of Joshua's life. In fact, the first mention of Joshua is found in Exodus chapter 17. So if you hadn't guessed that or known that, meet me in Exodus 17, please, and we're going to look at 8 verses and see the first real mention of Joshua. Joshua 17, verses 8 through 16 is a battle scene. There is war. This is exciting. There is defeat and there is victory. And Joshua and Israel stands on one side of those two entities in this battle. You might remember Joshua led in battle against Amalek while Moses did what? We can talk a little bit on Sunday night. That's okay. What was Moses doing? Yeah, right? Huh? Yeah, yeah. He was holding this up. He was holding up the rod or the staff, depending on what version you're holding there in your hands or looking at, would say rod or staff. And through the rod of Moses, God revealed something to Joshua and all of Israel. In fact, the enemies as well. Through the rod of Moses, like he had done before, God was revealing himself strong and as an absolute necessity to depend on him for victory. Okay? Let me remind you of this classic historical account in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Just follow as I read this here. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. By the way, this is not a brand new rod. This would be a staff that Israel would be familiar with, Moses' staff, right? And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur, who went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now I'm going to stop for a second. When I read this to my boys, I have a trait in the Swope family. It's called an extremely vivid imagination. And I read this ever since I was a kid, and I share this with my boys. I don't mean to be irreverent, but man, I almost would be tempted to kind of go, you know what? Up, down, up, down, up, down. Win, lose, win, lose. Wow, this is amazing, Lord, right? But I mean, think about the miraculous effect that's taking place here. I mean, this is what the Holy Spirit's telling us through God's word. The staff is raised, Israel is winning. The staff is lowered, Israel starts being defeated. God was working and showing something, all right? Sorry, we'll hit the pause button on the imagination, go back to verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. You ever tried holding your hand above your head for a while? Doesn't take long for it to get heavy. I was pruning a lot of trees above my head at the work day on Saturday. My shoulders are hurting and my hands grew heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat, where are we? And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now they got smart, didn't they? Well, Moses is a mere man. He's getting weak. His hands are getting tired. His arms are getting tired. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to prop the guy up, right? Let's just prop up his arms. That's some pretty ingenious thinking. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I also like that. He discomfited them. I think the blade of a sword in battle is rather discomforting when it hits its mark. He discomfited Amalek. He sorely beat their backsides, is what verse 13 is saying here. Okay? And actually, it was God that was doing this. It was God that was giving the victory. And then verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. I want you to watch this. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or Nissi, which is to say, the Lord is my banner. We'll come back to that in a moment. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This is exciting stuff. This is the same God that we worship and pray to now that's providing victory in such a vivid, graphic, miraculous way. I mean, a raised staff. God was teaching Israel, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and you and me something great about himself. Joshua was in the schoolhouse of learning from God at this point. A young leader being told to go up in battle, choosing warriors, that's the pressure put on of his selection, going to battle, and then probably not too long into battle, he's starting to catch on, you know, send some guys up there to help Moses keep that staff up, because I see what's going on here, right? Back and forth and back and forth. So here we see Joshua mentioned first. We see him being taught by the Lord through the Lord's pattern and purposes of mentorship. He's being mentored. We're going to see more of that in a little bit. But Joshua here, we see the first glimpse of him beginning to learn some valuable truths about God. Scriptures show that if we have a teachable heart, we learn much in life, don't we? I had a very rare, special privilege of coming up through my youth years as a young boy in a church planting family that was working to build a church building, and we lived close to it. So I got to be there. Every time guys would show up, volunteer guys, deacons, and guys and gals and people would show up to build, I was there, probably right in front of them too, or on their coattails. And they were war vets. They were senior men. They were people with stories and things to tell and to teach. And there is much to the way I drive a nail today that I can credit to my dad, but also to many of these men and women that mentored me. I enjoyed that. I love that. I don't think it was a miss at all. It was everything to gain. But I was also taught from a very young age from my parents as well as grandparents and others in my life that there was value in a submissive, humble listening and learning to those who gave out wisdom, good wisdom. And I valued that. I gleaned from that, and I benefited from the mentorship of the spiritual conversations and the practical lessons I learned from these folks in my life. And that shouldn't stop in senior age. It shouldn't stop in adult age either. The scriptures teach us this principle over and over again. Pastor Chris has been walking us through Proverbs on a path or a journey, whichever term we use, I'm sorry. We've been on this journey through Proverbs and seeing so much wisdom poured out and practical knowledge. And we see in the Proverbs also listening to wisdom. Lady Wisdom. I want you to notice what God wanted recited to Joshua. Remember I asked you to remember that? Go back to verse 14 and notice that. God wanted Joshua to have a clear understanding of the enemies of God and how to deal with them. So much so that God went to the extent of making sure that Moses wrote down and recited to Joshua what had happened that day. Don't forget this battle. Now, if I was in a battle like that as a warrior, I probably wouldn't soon forget the battle. I think that would be natural. But God wanted even more than just this victory that took place. God wanted Joshua, and he wanted you and me tonight to remember that it was God that gave the victory when people were faithful to obey and follow God. This was to be recited to Joshua, and only this would be a lesson that would help Joshua if he had the virtue of humility in listening to what he was being reminded. He needed to be humble in learning this lesson. Notice what Moses called the altar, by the way, in verse 15. You don't see it written out. You may have a study Bible that says this, or a cross-reference, a little footnote there. But this Jehovah Nissi, or Nisai, this here, it really is literally rendered, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. Now that doesn't cross over into today's vernacular to make a whole lot of sense to us. I think we get the big idea. But let me just remind you of the significance of what is being said here. You know what a banner is, right? A banner is like a flag or a standard. I think in Kids for Truth at one time, and some of the other children's ministries we use, had like a standard that they would wear. It was to say something, to declare something, to show something. a banner or a standard. A banner served as a point of identity to follow. A banner or a standard served as a point of unity to rally around. A banner or a standard served as a point of victory that was sourced in God. So much meaning wrapped up in this. And in verse 15, this altar was built and called this, "The Lord is my banner," because of all of those things. I think wrapped up by extension. God calls us to rally together. God is a signal for us to follow. God and our union today with Christ is a mark of unity. And the banner that we wave over our head as believers is a victory in the Lord, right? This is significant. And Joshua would see this. Joshua followed this understanding, this teaching. He was humble to receive and understand this. How do we know that? Because we look at the rest of his life. Let's continue on to another chapter in Joshua's life. So we're still in Exodus. You might come over to chapter 24, I believe. Exodus chapter 24. And we'll just skip ahead a little bit like we have been doing when we study some of these personalities in the Old Testament. And we see that Joshua, did you know this? Joshua served as Moses' personal assistant. He had a really close relationship with the leader of Israel. He served Moses as his personal assistant. There are a few people that get to know leaders like their personal assistants do. Joshua was right there. He was his right-hand man. He helped him in almost all things. And some very personal things, as we'll see. In Exodus chapter 24, and verses 12 through 18, we see this mentorship continuing to take place. Remember, taught Joshua, as we should too, was taught by the Lord through mentorship. And so being Moses' personal assistant, we pick up in verse 12 and then through 18, we see that Joshua had the opportunity to learn much if he would only be available and teachable. Joshua had every opportunity at his disposal given to him by God by the way of human spiritual mentorship if he only would be available and submissive to that. Look at verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua." That minister there is a reference to his assistant, one he would serve. Okay. "And Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them." What a leader, right? He left some other leaders behind. If anything happens, talk to them. Don't come running up the mountain to me right now. Leave me alone. Okay, I have some business to do. And then verse 15, it says, "Moses went up into the mountain," you know this, "and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." I want you to notice on the extended time that Moses was there. God gives us a specific amount of time, and it helps us grasp something through the eyes of Joshua, who is learning from Moses as his assistant. Joshua had the opportunity to learn much. So we've seen when God summoned Moses to Mount Sinai to receive the law on stone tablets, Joshua went with him. Deuteronomy 9, and verse 9, actually, you don't have to turn there now, tells us Moses did not eat or drink during that allotted time that we read in verse 18. He did not eat or drink during those 40 days, implying, okay, the scriptures are implying that in the fullness of God's presence, there was complete satisfaction and every need was met. This was not a lesson that just passed by unlearned by Joshua. He got to observe firsthand that God fully provided for every need that Moses had, that God wanted to be fulfilled, that Moses needed while he was in the presence of God, while God spoke to him, while Moses bowed in worship and humble submission to God and his plan. This Joshua got to witness as Moses, the King James says minister, as his assistant, a mentor, and the one who's mentored relationship. Joshua got to see once again that the Lord is sufficient for every need and in every circumstance. God is sufficient. He saw this through the rod of Moses that was held up for victory over Amalek. He sees this in the provision of Moses in those days and nights in the presence of God in his glory. Joshua was being taught through a relationship that God had put into his life. God teaches us growth, maturity, a myriad of lessons in life, specifically through the relationships of other people he's placed in our life. God teaches us much through relationships. This is part of God's great plan in a relational community and body of Christ, learning from one another. Do you remember, I think I mention this often enough, and I trust you know this too, but when we sing together, we're reminding each other of things. We're teaching each other things. When you have someone sitting next to you whom you know is struggling in turmoil, and they're singing the very, did I say singing? They're singing the very same truths about God that you believe, that should minister to your heart. When we have relationships and we sometimes make a foolish, speedy decision and someone more mature in the Lord and wise says, you know, maybe they use kinder words than this, but that was stupid. Let's slow down and think about this. And in hindsight, 2020, you know, in the Monday morning quarterback of the situation, you know, you kind of, I needed them to tell me that. I thought I had things all in order, but I just needed to hear them correct me kindly. Joshua is witnessing in this mentor relationship serving under Moses that God is able to provide for every need all of the time when we are in the place of obedience with God and submission to him. Joshua got to see this. God puts people in our lives like this. By the way, where can you find others more spiritually mature than you? Because you ought to be looking for them. You ought to have eyes wide open and search and ears perked up for those who have spiritual maturity. We ought to be, every one of us, no matter your age and stage and season in life, ought to be pursuing where you could probably before the Lord honestly say, this person has been and is a mentor to me in life. They have the ability to help boost and fill my tank with spiritual wisdom as I allow my life to be exposed to them and them to me. And so then, because I've identified this person or these people or these individuals, I want to prayerfully seek and pursue opportunities to spend time with them and to be with them. Joshua, I think, got this. It wasn't just that, well, it's my job to be as an assistant, so I guess I'll just follow him around everywhere he goes. I think Joshua understood this. I think Joshua grasped this. Because he also relays this in a sort of a way to others as he leads them spiritually. We'll see that yet still. But would you think about that? I think in many ways preparedness, it sort of felt like a youth message, doesn't it? You know, listen to those who are spiritually mature. Work on developing a relationship with your youth pastor and your Sunday school teacher and your mother and your father and your older brother and sister. But church, can I say that? This is God's normative pattern for you in your spiritual life too, no matter the age or stage. To be with God's people, to benefit from spiritual mentorship. If we started talking about, to go back to the question, where would we look for relationships like that? I don't know if you've thought about this before. Well, that sounds kind of rude. I know you have. The local church, the body of Christ, the leaders that the Lord has set up in the church. And I don't mean the leaders have got to just be the pastors and the teachers. But there are teachers and there are those who do some leading that aren't in called offices as well. As well as God has given those offices as gifts to the church and to you individually. Spending time with these individuals that God has placed in your life, the body of Christ and others. God puts these people in our lives. Caleb, by the way, do you remember, we looked at Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were pretty close. In fact, they were very close in spirit in their testimony of trusting God when they came back from spying. Do you remember that? Caleb was noted as having what kind of spirit? Do you remember? Who knows? Who remembers? He had a different spirit than others. Caleb stood out in a crowd. Caleb was unusual because the Holy Spirit tells us through God's word that Caleb's spirit was different than others. Joshua was close with Caleb. Joshua spent much time with Caleb. Caleb's spirit was contagious, being different. No doubt Joshua also learned from Caleb. We can see Numbers 14:24 that God calls Caleb's spirit a different one, meaning it was a spirit that was sensitive to and following God. It was contagious around Joshua. Maybe another thought-provoking question to challenge you as your pastor would be, have you taken advantage of these relationships? Have you worked to develop these type of relationships and pursue them and look for them and nurture these kind of relationships, these mentor relationships, to learn from others and to allow God to work in your life because of them and through them? I would challenge you to do so. You know, another virtue that set Joshua apart was his, as I've already mentioned several times, his teachable spirit. Joshua had a teachable spirit. This was key to his growth and his spiritual maturity. This is found in chapter 33 of Exodus. Would you go over there for a moment? Exodus 33. Just notice a handful of verses in the middle of another different historical context. Exodus chapter 33, and notice in verses 7 through 11, a special focus on 11 when we get there. Here we see another virtue that set Joshua apart. It's a virtue of a teachable spirit. Picking up in verse 7, it says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle." So you can picture this, right? And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10 says, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Now, special note here. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He stayed. He stayed behind. His master left, his mentor left, and in the shadow of watching from Moses' footsteps, if you will, here Joshua stayed behind. I think as God seeks to conform us today to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, as God seeks to do that, that's his desire. That's what he avails opportunities for us to do. And some of this comes through the opportunity of mentorship. Joshua stayed behind because God desires that we too first have a teachable and moldable spirit. Joshua exhibited, I think, this teachable spirit. Joshua stayed in the tent of, it's referred to as the tent of meeting, after Moses returned to the camp. Joshua wasn't just tagging along on Moses' relationship with God. There is a level of intentionality here. If he was just tagging along on Moses' relationship with God, he probably would have just followed Moses when he left, right? Yet there's something else I think we see here. And I don't believe we're reading too much into the text when we see that he was learning from Moses how to develop his own relationship with God. Joshua was hungry to learn and made himself available to the voice of God following in the steps of Moses. Time spent with God is never wasted. Time spent with God in a position to hear him and know him and trust him is never wasted. It's never wasted. I think we see something in Joshua here of a teachable spirit. Joshua, in his exhibiting humility as a student and a mentor of Moses, learned from Moses' example of trusting God. He learned from Moses' example of relying on God for provision. And I think he learned from Moses' model and example of being a place and listening to God. And I think we see in a continued spirit of Joshua's life as we unpack more and see more of his life, you will see a continued spirit of Joshua having a hunger to know God, to follow God, a thirst for learning from him, from being around spiritually mature and obedient to God people, to wanting to walk in the obedient steps of God. And all of this, for this to be accomplished, it, one, didn't happen overnight, and two, it took a level of humility. Joshua needed, as I believe he had, a spirit of teachability. He needed to be able to have a spirit of, I want to learn, and I'm okay with being taught. I want to listen and learn about God. I think we've seen only number one, taught by the Lord through mentorship in the life of Joshua. One of the virtues of genuine humility is just that. And I believe that God also wants in your life, as he wants in my life, and he wants in our life corporately, he wants us also to be marked by genuine humility, which includes the virtue of being teachable. having a submissive and teachable spirit. This is key to growing close to God. This is key to knowing God and becoming like His Son Christ, which is His plan for us. I think Joshua's life, I'm convinced that Joshua's life has been given to us in the Scriptures as a valuable example, among many other things, of the necessity of humility. The necessity of humility. Of course, the primary lesson to draw from Joshua's life is that God is faithful to His promises, and we'll see more of that some other time. But God was faithful to teach and to guide Joshua, and Joshua's learning began with a spirit of teachability. He was humble, and he was teachable. And God placed people in his life to mentor him. And I would challenge you again, of any age and stage, believer, tonight, would you reconsider in prayer? Would you spend time considering tonight before you go to bed? Who in my life has God placed for me to learn from? And I really think there's probably more than one. There's probably more than one. There's probably more than we credit ourselves to. Be wise, be discerning, be diligent, be prayerful in considering whom those individuals might be. But pay attention to whom God has placed in your life to learn from. Ask God to develop in your life a spirit of teachability. To be the student and not only the speaker and teacher. Learn from others as they pour into your life. A lot of times that mentorship is not a formal sit down and we're going to study this. That's good. But many times it's simply like being on the roof of a church building that's being built and listening to a man who loves God and serves God speak into my life spiritual lessons while we drive nails into the roof of a church building. Pursue and listen to. Ask for God to give you ears and eyes for those He's placed in your life and ask Him to develop this spirit of teachability. I think next time, we'll stop here tonight, but next time we'll look at some more of these virtues of humility in Joshua's life. For we will see that Joshua, who's what we're talking about, right? Joseph is good too, but Joshua will also exhibit an example of availability and obedience and faithfulness, among other things. All right, let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at an example of Joshua as you've given him to us. I pray that we would take a moment tonight to appreciate for you to help us to recognize and to be teachable around those you've placed in our life to mentor us. Help us to listen to your truth that oftentimes you give through the catalyst of mentors in our life. Dear Lord, make us more aware of the people you place in our lives to teach us. Help us to remain humble and teachable so we might learn about you from them. In Jesus' name, amen.